Take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs 28. We have been talking about the subject of growth. Tonight will be lesson number 9. Proverbs chapter 28. Once you find it, just kind of hold your finger there and let me do just a little review. We started out by talking about what brings church growth. In week number 2, I taught a lesson called We Are Commanded to Grow. So God's not just casually suggesting it, but I showed you in the Bible, God is commanding that you and I grow as Christians. Week number 3, I taught a lesson called Growth Comes by Doing What You're Not Currently Doing. In other words, growth is going to add something to your life. Week number 4, we taught a lesson called Growth by Failure. You're going to grow as a result of failure. Failure is a part of the growth process. Week number 5, taught a lesson called Growth by Obedience. And that's just one of the key lessons to learn. You're going to grow through obedience. Somewhere along the way, you've just got to start obeying something that you're not currently obeying if you're going to grow. Week number 6, that was at right before Christmas. I think it was Christmas Eve. I used some packages up here. And I taught a lesson called Time-Released Growth. And I told you how when you obey one thing, it releases or gives you an opportunity then to obey another, and then yet another. And there's a chain reaction that comes when we're growing, and the Bible talks about that. Week number 7, I taught a lesson about growing in your decision-making. And that's where I told you we need not make our decisions emotionally, but we've got to learn to make our decisions based on the Word of God. And so we talked about growth in our decision-making. Then, last week, one of the most simple lessons you'll ever hear, I talked about how to get the Word of God to grow in your life. You remember, that's where I told you, you need to read it with your eyes and say it with your mouth so you can hear it with your ears. And then we memorize it and we repeat it. And then we teach it. And by doing that, you're going to grow in regard to your relationship with the Word of God. This week, again, just as simple as Grandma's apple pie, I want to teach you a lesson. I call it growth by being faithful. Growth by being faithful. You say, oh, this sounds real simple. It is. And if you're of high intelligence, I don't have to worry about that. There's nobody here that applies to. Proverbs chapter 28. Why don't you stand with me? Proverbs chapter 28. We're going to start with verse number 19. Proverbs 28, verse 19. The Bible says this, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a price of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Back to verse 20, that's the primary verse for tonight. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, take the simple lesson, get glory to thyself. God, I don't think I can say anything tonight that we've not already heard. We'll just be reminded of it. I'd like to reinforce what I think all of us already know. So bless tonight the repeating of a truth that is one of the keys to growth in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, do something bigger than what I can, and may it be eternal. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Let me say, it should be your desire to grow. You ought to want to grow in your Christian life. And I mean, you ought to come to church with that in mind. We come to church for an awful lot of reasons. There are some young people here at church because mom and dad expect you to be at church and you weren't allowed to stay home. And you're going to miss something if that's the only reason you're here. Or some of you, you're lonely at home, so you come to church because there are people here. And I'm glad that you do, and you're right, there are people here. But if you only come here to fulfill your need for a little communication, you're going to miss something. You say, I just come, it's become a part of a rote, if you will, part of my behavior, part of my schedule. I'm glad. I want you to come to church because it's such a part of your routine. But I just wish that for some reason we would all want to come and grow. How many people in here have ever been a teacher, either a Sunday school teacher or a teacher in a school, or maybe you were taught some sort of a class at work or something of that nature? How many of you here have ever been a teacher of some sort? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I think every person that just raised their hand, Ben, has been a teacher. That's good. Let me tell you this. I think everybody here that's ever been a teacher would agree with this. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if people came into your class with a desire to teach? What would happen if you had a student walk in and on their way past your desk said, "I am just so ready to learn"? That's almost unheard of. Do you know as a pastor, well, as a college professor, I taught a class called preaching. And I taught the young men, I said, you're going to have to understand something. It's going to take you sometimes up to 10 to 15 minutes just to get everybody's attention when you stand to begin to teach. You're going to have to possess some real good communication skills. If you teach too heavily right at the beginning, you'll lose them because they've got their mind on the television. They've got their mind on the lawnmower at home and the goldfish tank. And they're thinking about what they had for supper, and they're tasting some of it as it's coming back through for another visit. And I'm just telling you, they're already wondering, when are we going to get out? We just got in, but they're wondering, when are we going to get out? And how cheap is gas going to be? And am I going to run by Walmart after church and get a gallon of ice cream? And I tell the young preacher boys, I said, I want to tell you something. When you get up there, you better figure out a way to get their attention. We call it the introduction. And you say, what's the introduction for? Two reasons for the introduction. One, to get your attention. Two, it is so that the speaker can get the speaker's attention. Now, if the speaker has his own attention, he will far more quickly get the attention of the listener. You show me somebody that's passionate about what they're teaching, and it's just become a part of them, and it's urgent to them, and it's big to them, and it's important to them. And they give the impression there's nothing more important going on anywhere on the face of the earth. Now, a teacher like that could probably get everybody's attention a little quicker. But I'm just here to tell you, sometimes it is hard to get people's attention. Wouldn't it be something if people walked in the back door and sat down like a little bird waiting for a worm from Mama Bird, and they're just had their mouth open, ready to roll and get fed? But the problem is they're not usually that way. I mean, it just takes them a while to get their cell phone turned off, if they ever do. They get everything nestled in their nest there just right. Ladies got to get their shoes kicked off, you know, so they can be comfortable during the sermon. And ladies, so you know, when you take your shoes off, so you're comfortable during the sermon, I have to tell you this, you might be comfortable, but the people sitting beside you with your smelly feet, they're not comfortable. But listen, we all ought to have a desire to grow. But, you know, there are people that come to church and they don't have a desire to grow. There's some who they don't want to grow because they're comfortable where they're at. And so, you know, growth is not always comfortable, because growth includes change. And nobody really likes to change because we're comfortable. We'd like to keep those shoes that are already broken in as long as we possibly can, because they fit and they're comfortable and they're easy on, easy off. But there are times when you need to move up. A child has got to move up to a larger size shoe sooner or later. But growth can be uncomfortable. But there are some people who don't want to grow because they're in their comfort zone right where they're at. So they don't desire to grow. There are some who have mistakenly believed themselves and convinced themselves that they know enough. You say, preacher, I think I probably know more than everybody else in here about the Bible. Well, if you do, that's a wonderful thing, but you don't know more than Jesus, and he's your example. And don't ever convince yourself that there's nothing new for you to learn. There's always something new for you to learn. Matter of fact, when you're done learning, God will kill you and get you off the face of this earth and get this mess over with for you. But until then, you're to be learning all the way through. There's something for you to learn. So I think some people think they don't need to learn anymore. I think some people are comfortable where they're at and they don't necessarily want to learn anymore because it's going to take them out of their comfort zone. But we ought to have a desire to grow. The Bible says this. We read it a moment ago in Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man. A faithful man shall abound. Abound means you started with a certain amount, and then he gave you a little more, and then he gave you a little more. Abounding, you start, but there is growth in your blessing. That's how something abounds. There's plenty. Matter of fact, there's more than enough. What you had has grown. Now, who is going to grow in their blessing? A faithful man. So God said, I'll grow my blessing upon you, but there's a prerequisite. There's an expectation. He said, faithful. Faithfulness is one of the keys to growing. Stay with me, if you will. Let me start out by making a very simple statement. Let me tell you, what is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? Psalm 89, verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Faithfulness, according, now the dictionary says faithfulness is someone being thorough in the performance of their duty. Thorough. Being faithful is being reliable. Now, the Bible said God is faithful. And the Bible says God is strong. And then it actually even uses the words. It's talking about God's strength and God's faithfulness and how it affects the people that get around him. But if you're going to grow, you're going to have to learn to be faithful. This is going, and I know it sounds very simple, but in a moment, this is a key element to growing at anything you do. Faithfulness is being reliable. Faithfulness is a steadiness. Faithfulness is being stable at what you do. Faithfulness, as the Bible defines it, it's actually being predictably consistent. Faithfulness is continually doing what you started doing, and as a result of it, growth comes. Let me go on. Number two, faithfulness is, again, it's a key element of growth. So what is faithfulness? It is being predictably reliable. It is continuing to do what you have been doing. That's what faithfulness is. Now, you got to be faithful to grow. Psalm 31:23 says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. You say, I want to grow. Now, let me explain. Growth, if I may, I'll illustrate it this way. Growth is moving up. Well, if you move up, but you don't stay up, you'll go down. That's not growth. God said, if you'll be faithful, you'll move up and I'll preserve you. And you stay faithful, you'll move up, I'll preserve you. You need to preserve your steps forward. If not, you're gonna fall backward. Faithfulness is God stepping in and blessing you. Hey, God will bless your faithfulness and he'll preserve you as you're trying to expand. That verse right there that we just read teaches that the Lord makes the faithful to last, or he preserves them. He helps them to grow strong. To grow, you not only do right, but you've got to keep doing right and add to the doing of right. That takes a thing called faithfulness. To grow, you not only learn, you learn more, or you keep learning. Every student in here, your parents sent you off to kindergarten. You learned a certain amount of information in kindergarten. When they sent you to first grade, they expected you to preserve what you learned in kindergarten and then build on top of it. To be faithful in learning, you must add to the foundation that you've already laid. So to grow is not only to learn, but to keep on learning. To grow is not only to do right, it's to keep on doing right and adding more right. To grow, you not only attempt something good, but you keep attempting that thing that is good. That's what you have to do to grow. You have to go beyond what you're already doing. And faithfulness is it's a word that's used throughout the Bible. In a little while, I'll tell you, if someone is faithful to something that's wrong, they will grow in doing wrong. If you're faithful at doing right, you will grow at doing right. So just remember, faithfulness is a consistency. Faithfulness is a desire to go forward. Faithfulness is a predictableness and a reliableness. Now, you have to do that to go forward and learn. Number three, faithfulness to church is going to help you grow, and for a variety of reasons. I'm going to read a verse to you. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up," and this is about Jesus, "and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Here the Bible says, Jesus got into town. When he did, it was church day, and he went to church because that was his custom. That was his routine. You know what this is teaching you? It's teaching you that Jesus was faithful to the synagogue. He was faithful to church. Now, remember this. Church is primarily the teaching of the Word of God. But boy, the more preaching you get, the more chance you have to grow. The more teaching you get, the more chance you have to grow. God said, go to church and you'll grow. I believe if you'll be faithful to church, God will grow you. First of all, you're going to grow in just in your faithfulness. Faithfulness ought to grow. In other words, you start out being at church on Sunday morning, and then you add to it Sunday night. Then you add to it Wednesday night. Then you add to it special meetings. If we had a revival, you show up. You grow in your faithfulness, and you're supposed to grow in your faithfulness. But I have to tell you, I believe that God believes so strongly in the local New Testament church that if you don't go to church, you don't grow, not like you're supposed to. There are people that stay home and they think because they watch you know, evangelists, you know, mess them up on the television that they're just at home growing like a weed. I believe you're to go to church, and church is one of the elements that is required to grow as a Christian. I think if someone were just so sick that they could not come to church at all, then God would help them to grow from their hospital bed. But people that can come to church that don't come to church because they're inconvenienced by it reminds me of a student that doesn't want to go to school because they're inconvenienced by it. You know, even the United States government, who are not real smart, say when a child turns age 5, they have to be in some sort of an education process, whether they're being homeschooled or they're going to the Christian school or public school. Well, if a 10-year-old says, you know what I've decided? I've decided that it's really inconvenient for me to go to school. I'm just going to take my books out to the playground and teach myself. Your parents aren't going to go for that. And the teachers are not going to go for that. Nobody's going to go for that. You say, that's dumb. Then why do you think that you can stay home from church and you can read your Bible and you think that's adequate? You just said it's not adequate. When and you know what? The Bible just teaches a child's supposed to receive an education. The command was given to the parents. You make sure you get those kids educated. You take care of them. But let me say, God makes it very clear you to be faithful to church. There are people out there that believe they don't have to go to church to grow in the Lord. I believe you have to go to church to grow in the Lord to the degree you're supposed to. You have to be a part of the New Testament church. So, I said this. I said faithfulness is continually doing what you're doing. I said number two, faithfulness is a key element of growth. Growing is not only learning, but it is continuing to learn. Faithfulness is additional learning, and then additional learning, and then additional learning. That's being faithful. Then I said, faithfulness to church is an important part of your growth. You're going to grow more, and I think all of us know this. I just couldn't tell you how much I've learned by coming to the church house and having someone stand up and preach and teach the Bible to me. And I've not been in my lifetime, I've not been afraid to read the Bible. Well, and especially when I first got saved and that passion to grow was there, I would read and read and read and read and read and read and read. And some of you know what I mean. You've read and read and read and read and read. But I would almost guarantee you, you've learned most by sitting in church, the schoolhouse, and hearing someone preach and teach the Bible. I'm not saying you can't learn on your own. I think you ought to. But for some reason, God knew what He was doing. God said, we're going to have a meeting 3 or 4 times a week. We're all going to get together. And He said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. And I'll tell you something. God intended for church to be a part of your growth. And I can't explain it away. I might not be able to give you enough logical illustrations. I just have faith in the book that God wrote. And God said church is a part of growth. And you've got to be there. Number 4, I think faithfulness brings growth in all spiritual areas. In all spiritual areas. Let me read to you Psalm 71, verse 3. It says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Now the word continually there's your faithfulness. You remember what faithfulness is? It is continuing to do what you're doing. Consistently, predictably, reliably continuing to do what you're doing. You're to consistently attend church. You're to consistently, reliably, predictably be in church. And you do this in other areas. It says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. The psalmist turns to God, and he said, I am coming to you continually. The result is that God becomes a strong habitation, a rock, and a fortress to this person. Now, it's our goal in our growth to become strong, for us to have a strong habitation in our God. That's what we're looking for. I know it's as obvious as the nose on the end of your face. You won't grow in prayer if you're not faithful in prayer. People that are growing in their prayer life are people that are faithful to their prayer life. There's some of you, and I want you all to know, I love you, and if I ever say anything that kind of hurts you a little bit, I never intended to hurt you. I just needed to tell you the truth. There's some people in here, you don't pray a lick, and you don't get any prayers answered. And as your pastor, remember, I love you, and I'm your friend. But you know what your problem is? You're unfaithful in your prayer life. If you would be faithful, you would begin to grow in your prayers. Believe it or not, our prayer life is to be multiplying, not reducing. So what's holding you back? There's some in here, you don't have a lot of faith in prayer. And I think everybody does this some. There are people who would say, I'm praying about this, but preacher, I'd really like to know that you're praying about this. Because you have a confidence in the preacher's prayer life. And you waver some about your own prayer life. Now, God's as available to me as He is to you, and you as He is to me. But the only way you are going to grow in your prayer life is that you become faithful to pray. Becoming faithful to pray, you're going to begin to see God answer some prayers. Some of you just give up too quickly. You say, God doesn't answer my prayers. God was kind of hoping you'd pray about that more than a couple days. You're unfaithful in your prayer life. Therefore, you're not growing in the area of prayer. You say, but I want to see a tremendous escalation to my prayers being answered. I'll tell you how you get that. You be faithful to your prayer life. Look, do you know that if you're faithful and you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, you're going to get far more prayers answered? If you pray for 2 days and God doesn't hear you again until it's time for the bills to be paid at the beginning of next month, how many prayers can you get answered? Look, if you only pray for 5 things, how can you get hundreds of prayers answered? Oh, I'd just like to see God move in a multiple supernatural ways. You only pray for 1 thing, it's for God to bless your food. You're not going to have what you want in your prayer life until you become faithful in your prayer life. Because faithfulness grows you. Your giving and your tithing. To every young person in here, can I tell you something? Start tithing and be faithful at it. Every boy and girl in here, when grandma gives you a dollar and mom and dad say, we're going to give this 10 cents to the Lord, let me tell you something. One of the best things you'll do is you keep doing that and 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 be faithful. And some of you children are going to see some miraculous events in regard to your finances because you have been faithful and you're going to grow in your faith and you're going to grow in your financial ability. Do you know why some of you struggle? Because you've not been faithful financially. And this thing of, in a little while, I'm going to make a couple other applications, but do you want your credit to grow? Then what do you have to do? You have to be faithful, right? If you want your credit to increase, if you want your credit to grow, you must be faithful. You must keep on doing what you're supposed to do, which you got to pay that bill, and you got to pay that bill on time. And then it's going to come in next month, and you got to pay that bill, and you got to pay it on time. And then it's going to come in the next month, and you got to pay that bill, and you got to pay it on time. That's how you'll grow your credit. Faithfulness is key to growth. So it's that way in prayer. It's that way in tithing. It's that way in soul winning. You say, wow, I'd just like to have a bunch of people saved. You can't have a bunch of people saved if you go soul winning once every 2 or 3 years when somebody can move you just long enough to get you to do a little bit of it. I'd really like to see 1,000 saved. You can't see 1,000 saved in the 45 minutes you gave last month for the first time in 6 years. Say, how are you going to... You know, I'm not a great soul winner, but I've been doing it a long time. I got to win someone to Christ this last week. When I win someone to Christ, I pull my New Testament out, and in my New Testament, I write the name of the person that I won to Christ, and I do that to illustrate their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I turned to the back of my New Testament, and I went from one page to another page to another page. And we went past name after 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 name. And you start in the back of my New Testament, and you'll get about halfway through my New Testament. I took all the blank pages, and we filled them with names front and back. Then I started writing them on the bottom, where there's a little white space at the bottom of the page. I started writing names on the bottom and the top, and we went all the way back. And the person said, wow, there's a lot of names there. But you know, I didn't win all those last week. I apologize. There are weeks that I can win 10 and 12 people to Christ, but usually there's just 2 or 3, one here, one there, 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 one here, one there. Started doing it when I was 16. Thousands of them. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But I didn't get them all in 1 week. It wasn't because there was a burst of energy and we went out and had 100,000 people saved in 1 week. No, it doesn't work that way with me. I just went soul winning every week, every week, every week, every week, every week, every week, every week. Got one, got one, got one, got one, got one, got one. You know, some of you could do something great with your life if you'll be faithful. Because most of you don't have enough of what it takes to be great in a week. So you're going to have to spread it out and be faithful. And you'll get accomplished what you want to get. Nobody grows unless they're faithful. Your Bible reading. You wanna grow in your Bible reading? Be faithful. Just be faithful. I won't ask this question, but if I could ask and say, who in here has not missed a day of Bible reading in the last year? Most people couldn't stand and say, that's me. But I'll tell you something. Just be faithful to your Bible reading, and you will grow. Faithfulness in all spiritual areas brings growth in those areas. You just keep going. Now, I think faithfulness brings growth in all areas of life, just in general. I was reading my Bible the other day, and I noticed this verse. In Numbers chapter 12, verse number 7, it says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. It is being said here that Moses had become faithful in many areas. Every responsibility in the house that he had, he became faithful. You all know about Moses. I would guess Moses probably grew more than any man in the Old Testament. Pretty powerful fella. Used to pen 5 books of the Old Testament. Led millions of people for years. Very capable man. Look, young people, parents, I think this is obvious to you. Your children will not grow at school unless they're faithful to school. Right? And I don't care if you're homeschooled. If you're homeschooled, you ought to have a schedule. You ought to get up at the same time and finish it the same day, and you ought to have a certain amount of work that's done. Homeschool is not a free-for-all. You'll end up stupid if you're not careful. There ought to be a commitment made. And then you be faithful to that, and you will grow. There are young people everywhere that are not dumb. They're just not faithful. So they don't go to school like they ought to go to school, so they're not growing in their education. See, you grow as a result of faithfulness. Now, I know there takes a little more than that, but look, you dead sure are not going to learn if you're not in class. You say, well, you got to have some things even if you're in class. Oh, I realize that. There might be a little more than just showing up, but God knows you're not going to learn if you're not even there. Your health. You will grow in your health if you're faithful to do the things you know you're supposed to do. You know, if the doctor says to you, you have to do this, if you want to be healthy, I guess he's expecting you to be faithful to whatever that is. If he said, I need you to walk a half mile a day or you're going to die, I think if I were you, I'd probably be walking a half mile a day. But your health won't grow unless you're faithful to the things that cause good health. You got to be faithful. Your relationships. You got to be faithful to working on those relationships if you want them to grow. Your goals. You say, I want to grow in my goals. Then you'll have to be faithful to your goals. At work. There are people in here. David has people out there that work under him at work. It's pretty hard to give raises out to people who won't come to work. So I have a goal at work. Your boss's goal, first of all, just show up. Just show up. Be faithful. In your finances, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Steward, that would be one that would control money and maybe control money of others, control merchandise of others, a steward. But you say you want to be successful with money, you know what you have to do? You have to be faithful to do the right thing with money. Say, I'd like to have a lot of money someday. Then you'll have to be faithful not to spend everything that you make. You have to be faithful to pay your bills on time. You'll have to be faithful to save some money along the way. You'll have to be faithful to control your desires and your passions and to spend your money right. And if you're not faithful to that, you won't grow in your ability to handle money. Your emotions. The Bible says, But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. It's talking about be faithful in your spirit. You know what that means? Learn to control your emotions. Faithfully, consistently control your emotions. You're going to have a hard time growing in the Lord when you can't control your attitude. Now, every parent in here wants their children to learn to control their attitude. Every parent in here, your child one day is going to say, well, I feel, and you're going to say, I don't care what you feel, you're going to do what you're told. Now, I wish some people would learn that because they grow up and go to work and they're 35 years of age and they're still saying to the boss, well, I feel. And if I was your boss, I'd say, I don't care what you feel. Go dig the ditch. Well, the way I'm feeling right now, I don't care how you feel right now. Dig the ditch or I'll get someone that doesn't feel the way you do. And they can dig the ditch and you can go in the unemployment line and gripe with everybody else about how everybody feels. There comes a point when you must control your emotions. Folks, don't do what you want to do. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what is right to do. And the more you do that, the more you're going to grow in life. People with emotions that are spastic and out of control and they're up one moment and down the next, those kind of people are not going to grow in the Lord like they need to grow. I just guarantee it. Earlier, some ladies were looking at some scripture about the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, what a wonderful teaching. The Spirit of God will help you to control your emotions. You need to be faithful with the controlling of your emotions so that you can grow in the area of your emotions. I'm almost finished, but there's one more application that I want to make, and that's this. Did you know that faithfulness to wrong will grow wrong? Faithfulness to right will grow right in your life. If you're faithful to the right things, those things will grow you. But if you're faithful to wrong things, your faithfulness to wrong things is going to grow the wrong in your life. Genesis 6:5 it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. There's the word, continually. In other words, they were behaving evil consistently. They were faithfully doing wrong. Did you know that if you faithfully smoke marijuana, it's going to grow in regard to its control of your life? If you're faithful in abusing that drug, its influence in your life is going to grow and grow and grow until you become an addict. It takes over. It controls. Why? You were faithful to the drug. You were consistent with it. And it grew in your life. The same thing's true with tobacco. You stay faithful with your tobacco, then it's going to grow in regard to its influence in your life. Immorality. You stay faithful and you keep being immoral. It's going to take your life over. It's going to expand. You start about being immoral in one little area, and you're faithful to that, it's going to grow to another area, and then it's going to grow to another area. And if you're going to consistently do wrong, then wrong is going to grow in your life. You be lazy. You be faithful to being lazy. And you'll just grow into being lazier. And lazier and lazier. Lie. Lie consistently. And won't be long till you be nothing but a liar. We used to say big fat liar, but now a well-upholstered liar. Excuse making. Make an excuse. Then come up with another one. And most of the time, your excuses are more apt to just be justifiable in your thinking rather than everybody else's. But just be an excuse maker. And the more you make up excuses, and the more consistent you are at it, the more it influences your life and you're growing your excuse making. Yeah, you ever met the people that are really good? They can come up with all sorts of excuses. They're masters at it. Why? They grew that. They grew it in their life by being faithful to being an excuse maker. Lateness. Being late all the time. Be a late little and just stay consistent. Won't be long till you be a late lot. Rudeness. Gossip. Complaining. You just faithfully complain and it won't be long. You'll be the most negative person anybody knows. It'll just grow in your life and grow and grow. That to which you are faithful, you're going to grow into that. There's going to be more and more and more of it. That's why. Let's read our Bible faithfully. Why? Because it'll grow in our lives. Let's pray. Why? And let's pray faithfully because it'll grow in our lives. Be faithful to church. Why? It'll grow in your life. Be faithful to telling others about Christ. Why? If you're faithful and you stay after it, it grows and it grows and it grows. God said faithfulness is a key to growth. Cheat. You young people. Just cheat in school. Can I tell y'all something? If you cheat in school, the person you're hurting most is you. But you start cheating a little, and you just keep consistently cheating, it won't be long, you'll be cheating a lot. Because whatever you do consistently grows in your life. So I know it's almost too simple to even teach, but growth comes by faithfulness. And you say, preacher, I don't know, I'm kind of new at all this, and I can't imagine. I look at some of the ladies in the church and I so look up to them, or I look at the men in the church and I so look up to them. I don't see how I could ever get myself to where they are in their Christianity. Let me tell you, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Because faithfulness is one of the primary ingredients, one of the core ingredients to growth. I had a young man say to me, Brother Owens, you're my favorite preacher. He wasn't a real smart young man, but he said, you're my favorite preacher. He said, I love hearing you preach. I said, I just love it. He said, and it's also depressing to me. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, oh, no. He said, when I hear you preach, he said, I wonder how will I ever go from where I am as an 18-year-old preacher boy. I could never preach like you do. He said, how did you do that? I said, I didn't know that I did that. I said, all I did was I preached my first sermon and put my all into it. And I preached my second one and I put my all into it. I said, if I'm teaching a lesson, I put my all into it. I said, I've done that over 35,000 times. I preached, then I preached it, then I preached it, then I preached it, and every time I made sure, I wanted to make sure it had just something in it, just a little extra in it, every time. I said, I didn't do all that all at once, and I didn't even plan that. I said, the fact that you think I'm a good preacher, I'm delighted. I don't think that, but if I've made any progress at all I did was just keep doing what was right. That'll help you grow. You say, I want to be a good mom. Keep at it. Don't throw in the towel, mama. Keep at it. And keep at it. And keep at it. And keep at it. And keep at it. Some of you younger mothers look at some of the other women that are a little more mature and you look and say, oh, I wish I could be a mom like she was. You know what? She was right where you were at one point. She was just faithful. She is faithful with her passion to be a good mom. Same with dads. Faithfulness, it's key. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here would say, I want God to help me to be faithful so that I can properly grow in all areas of my life? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. I think you do. You may put your hand down. We'll have an altar call. There's some of you who've become unfaithful at some things. You say, you know what, I'm not good at that. I started out and I was catching on. Well, your problem is you just weren't faithful. God doesn't expect you to be an overnight success at anything. All he says is just be faithful. Just do what you're supposed to do and do it consistently, and I'll help you to grow into what you want to be. You say, I don't have talent. You know, you don't have to have talent if you have faithfulness. I don't have money. You don't have to have money if you have faithfulness. Say, I don't have a high intellect. You don't have to have a high intellect. You just have to be faithful. God will grow you. We're going to have a brief altar call. It won't take long. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Do you need to be more faithful to your Bible? Do you need to be more faithful to your prayer life? Do you need to be more faithful to your soul winning? Do you need to be more faithful?